got your drink?
I got my drink.
Okay. Hey, everybody. Welcome to podcast number 12. I apologize for how late this is. I realize it's Saturday night instead of Tuesday or Wednesday.
Thursday, pushing it latest.
Here it is Saturday. We were overtaken by events, and that is the best I can explain it.
It was one of those weeks.
It certainly was. It certainly was, and it still continues to be.
I blame St. Patrick's Day. There was a lot of build-up angst.
I blame the Irish.
And then, we all do. Yeah. You know, St. Patrick's Day, I alternate between being super Irish to practically, ready to be an orange man. You know, I go downtown to where my office is, and there are all these Irish pubs, and it's 11 o'clock in the morning, and people are lining up outside the pubs to get their drinks, and we're not even in Boston. And I turn into an orange man, and I'm saying to myself, and me without my gun. It's just ridiculous.
Yeah. Well, and when you left, I saw, the best St. Patrick's Day meme that I saw was a picture of a guy who had just, you know, it's 2 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning, something like that, and he's completely blitzed, and he's done just this hideous face plant into the street, and it says, "May the road rise up to meet you."
Oh, yes.
Poor schmuck. Anyway, we got that under our belts. We tried a new recipe besides boiled dinner, and it was pretty, pretty good. I liked it. And the kid made soda bread.
That was actually edible.
It was.
It was good.
I was amazed. I've never. It's always like I can get through this. I can get all the way through to the other piece of this soda bread.
But yes, it was very. It was a punishing experience. Right. Most years,
it was no was willpower required.
For St. Exactly.
Self-loathing bread.
Which Facebook friend of yours said that her husband says the perfect Irish meal is a bowl of nothing with a side of tears.
Yep, and that's what you deserve. You as a people and individually as well. And I know you agree with me. That's why I feel free in saying so.
Oh, yes.
Well, let's move along anyway. That was St. Patrick's Day. It was fine. And today, March 18th, is a very special day because it's the anniversary of the creation of the world.
No, it's not.
According to some medieval scholars, it is.
Really?
It really, really is. They wrote it down, and it also happens
to be... How did they figure that?
I don't know. I was skimming. But I'd never heard that before.
Neither
and I thought that was adorable. I mean,
well,
why not?
Well, that's awesome. Exactly.
Why shouldn't there be a day when the world started? I mean, it had to be someday. Why not March 18th?
How do you celebrate?
I
think we all know how you ought to celebrate.
Yeah, well, go make something, I guess.
Here we are, man, woman, universe, and all that stuff, and all
just alone with our three or four podcast listeners. Pretty, pretty cozy, I would say. I was reading the translation of the Old Testament, the first book of Genesis. It's called, being a scholar, I happen to know that.
Is it any good?
Yeah, it's all right. It moves along pretty well. And I like the part, I'll tell you what it says. So this is the second day, so this would be tomorrow, I suppose. On the second day, he made the firmament that is the heaven. It is visible and corporeal, but nevertheless, we are never able to see it because of its great height. The heavens encompass the whole earth in its bosom, and it is always turning about us. It is swifter than any mill wheel, just as deep below this earth as it is above. It is entirely spherical and whole and adorned with stars. Truly the other heavens, which are above and beneath it, are invisible and inscrutable to men, but there are more heavens, as the prophet said, heavens of heavens.
Wow.
And he's not wrong.
Kind of, yeah.
Isn't that amazing? Yeah. I saw it when it's swifter than any mill wheel. I love that. Well, I guess that's my favorite thing. What's your favorite thing?
My favorite thing of the week?
Yeah, your nicest thing that you heard this week.
I don't know if it's the nicest thing. It is my favorite thing that I heard this week.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, it is...
I feel like a mood change is upon us.
Well, I... Whoa. Dropping stuff here.
I dropped his drink.
That has not happened in many a year. The website Deadspin, which is can be awfully funny at times. And they actually do, occasionally, when they feel like it, some pretty good journalism. And I would not say this is good journalism, but it is journalism nonetheless. Every year after the Super Bowl, they send a Freedom of Information Act request to the Federal Communications Commission, and they get all of the complaints that have been filed about the Super Bowl halftime show.
So if you sent in a complaint about the Super Bowl to the FCC, they find the list of them. They have access to all of these.
Yep, and they send it off. It's public information, and we have a right to know what's going on with our federal institutions. Mm-hmm. This year, Lady Gaga's show garnered 2 complaints. I'm really surprised.
Neither one was from me, although I thought it was kind of stupid.
I didn't hate it.
My complaint. I was like, that was kind of stupid.
I was ready to hate it, and I didn't hate it. Yeah. So I should have complained about I didn't hate
this. I didn't hate this enough. I have all this pent-up outrage and now nothing to expend it upon.
I know. Well,
so tell us what...
So one of them was just complaining about one of the players after the end swearing when they won the Super Bowl, which that happens. But this one is specifically about the halftime show. It comes from the great state of Pennsylvania. The description is Islam.
Okay. I remember the Islam part of Islam, the Super Bowl.
Yep. And it is this. Lady Gaga is an anagram of Sharia law. So there you go.
But it's not.
There are many in this.
But it's.
I feel like misunderstanding what an anagram is. It's the least of this person's problems.
Yes, exactly.
But knowing that guy is out there and his vote counts just as much as yours or mine makes me happy.
I bet he voted more than once, though. I have a feeling he did vote.
He
more
panicked
than once.
And probably voted more than once.
Just to make up for all that Sharia law running loose around Pennsylvania. As so often happens. Wait, all right, LADYG. No,
it doesn't work.
No,
it don't add up.
It just don't add up.
Like the bulldog said.
Like the famous boy, that bulldog was onto something. I'll tell you. All right, we're actually sequestered in our bedroom at the moment because our living room has been overtaken by a bunch of teenage boys. We're having a birthday party for our son, who's 13. And that brings the grand total of teenagers who live under this house, under this roof.
For now.
Wait, what?
For tonight.
Okay. Yeah. No. Oh, well, for tonight, I don't even know. Saying in a wordy way, we now have 5 teenagers. Five of our kids who live at home are teenagers right now. And I kind of like it.
They're great.
There's a lot of door slamming. There is a lot of door slamming. And every time I look around, you know, like when you go outside and you're like, oh, look. Another tree has burst into buds, or, oh, look, another snowbank has melted. I'm like, oh, look, there's another hole in the wall.
To be fair, they generally keep that up to their side of the house upstairs, for the most part.
I remember you gluing the bathroom door back together not too long ago.
These things happen.
I know, but they're, honest to goodness, if that's the worst that they do, and it really is the worst that they do. They're annoying as hell sometimes, but they're interesting, they're funny, they like each other for the most part. They're good to their little brothers and sisters for the most part.
They're pretty helpful.
Some of them are learning how they can make eggs. They make eggs at each other today, I found out. Irene gave up eggs for Lent because that girl likes her eggs.
Oh, gosh. She's not a teenager.
No, she's not. She's 7. So Irene says, Mo was making eggs and it was really hard. I was like, oh, but did you stand fast? She said, yeah, but I kicked him because he was deliberately making eggs at her, knowing that she couldn't have any.
Oh, what a jerk.
Crumb.
Mo is 14 going on, going to strangle him.
Yeah, yeah.
Although I have to say, with all of the teenagers in the house, this mm-hmm. winter we had quite a bit of snow, mm-hmm. and I only had to pay for a plow once.
Yeah, they just... I know. 3 shovels, 10 sets of arms. No, yeah. That doesn't make sense. 5 sets of arms.
We're writers. We're not math people.
Exactly. We also don't know how to change the oil in our car. I almost told the garage guy that. I was like, hey, I'm a writer. And I thought, that's not going to impress him at all.
He's not, no. He's having a hard winter.
I know.
He always has a hard winter. I think he's seasonally depressed.
Well, I would be. He's probably breathing in all kinds of fumes. Yeah, not to mention he has to sit in our van every
day. I worry about him. I generally sometimes worry, like, he's either going to, like, drive off cliff, yep. or he's yep. gonna up and move to Florida, which
or just that would be terrible.
Yeah,
I love him so
yeah,
much.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
Yeah, well, I'm glad that we told them that because now they know about Phil, our mechanic.
Yeah,
What else do you want to talk about? You want to talk about... all right. You got to talk about the email exchange that's been taking up so much of your precious time lately.
This would be the stupidest thing of the week that I've... And it might be stupidest thing of the century. It really is. At my newspaper, we started getting emails from a very angry person because he had been arrested. Excuse me, he had not been arrested. He had been charged with a crime a couple of years ago. A story was written about it, and the story's sort of been following him around for the last couple of years, as it happens.
So, like, he tried to meet a girl, he tries to get a job, he tries to get an apartment.
He claims that, well, let me tell you what the story is. Let's call him John.
All right.
This was 2 years ago. It's the middle of winter. He decides to hire a masseuse on Craigslist who is offering erotic deep tissue prostate massages.
Well.
He hires her, agrees to pay her $100, drives an hour away to a little town in Massachusetts where the masseuse promptly and her... The masseuse and her actual boyfriend promptly rob the guy of $100 and run away. He does not get his massage. But like a good idiot, he goes to the police to make a complaint. And the cops read all of his Craigslist emails and they get his story. And they know who that gal and her boyfriend are because it's a small town. And they charge everybody. This guy gets charged with paying for sexual conduct. Even though there was no sexual conduct,
honestly, he just tried to pay for it. I've been to Massachusetts, and I would not have expected that that was still considered a crime in Massachusetts.
It happened in a town called Toytown.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
I've been to Toytown, too. He's a big, big horse.
In any event, so this story comes out. He claims that once it came out, his life went down the tube.
Because
of the newspaper story, he got thrown out of his trailer park, and people beat him up and called him a perv. So he wanted a correction because, I don't know what he wanted. He wanted a correction because the story correctly stated he was charged with a crime, but the headline incorrectly stated he was arrested. I did not write this story.
But you got to answer all
the... Well, here's the thing. The funny part is the story that I'm dealing with was written in the New Hampshire paper I now work for. But it happened in Massachusetts where I was working for the local Massachusetts paper as the crime reporter. And so I wrote the story for my Massachusetts paper and sent the documents up to my friend who worked in New Hampshire. And my friend screwed up the headline. So there you go.
So it was.
But I still have all the documents.
You are the one who ruined his life.
I did ruin his life.
You were at the root of
it. So I call him and I say, all right, well, are you interested in letting me follow up with a story? And I'm thinking, if this guy's smart, he says no and hangs up. He is not smart. So we go back and forth.
Yeah, because that's what will help his life, is if there's yet another story about...
Exactly.
All he did, see.
As a matter of fact, and to be fair, he was never convicted of this crime. He paid $100 and the charges were dismissed.
Really?
As often happens.
Wait a minute.
In court.
Was it $100 because it's always $100, or was it because $100 because that's what he was going to pay? Or is it just a coincidence?
It was basically get this idiot out of my courtroom, make him pay $100 and he'll go away. So I have this email exchange. Well, first I call him and I say, well, I need to see the emails that you say prove your innocence. And he says, okay. I don't know if I can find them. I don't have them anymore. I said, they're emails. They didn't go away. Just check your email account. Okay. So about an hour later, he sends me an email explaining he cannot find those emails because his internet service is down.
Okay. Because of Sharia law, no doubt.
Obviously, Lady Gaga was messing with his ISP. This goes on, and finally, he does. His internet service magically reappears, and he sends me the emails, and they do not.
They're not helping.
They don't
help.
No.
Yeah. No. That's a strange thing. That seems like it happens to me to a lesser degree. But people will say, you're wrong. I'll show you evidence that you're wrong. And it's like, here's the evidence. The person who is writing this is stupid and doesn't know anything. And it's like anybody can see that. It's very strange.
I often run into people who think that who approach a problem by dropping their pants, pooping on their shoes, and saying, checkmate.
This is why sometimes you come home and you start telling people, why are there socks all over the place? What's the matter with you? Why are you? It was the towels.
It's the towels. It's the towels. It's the towels.
Why are you doing this to me? I think there was, why are you doing this to me?
That might have come out.
It sounded a little bit like, down by the, I can't remember now. There was a lot of wailing.
Guys were yelling things.
There was wailing and gnashing of teeth, and it was very Old Testament-y for a while. Right. You know, my people, in what have I offended you? Why can't you just hang the towels up?
Honest to goodness.
We did
have to have a family meeting tonight about replacing the toilet paper roll.
Oh my gosh, twice in one day. Not only did the savages go through two entire rolls of toilet paper in one day, but they did not change it either time, because I did it first thing in the morning and last thing at night.
It's amazing that thing still flushes when you think about it.
Boy, this is pretty classy.
Well, one's listening at this point anyway, so I don't
worry about it. Oh, they're listening. They got nothing better to do on a Saturday night.
Indeed.
If we don't have anything better to do. So I was looking, The passage from the Old Testament was making me, I was thinking, well, here it is, the anniversary of the creation of the world, and that makes me think naturally of what? No, not that. William Blake, of course.
Oh, yeah.
Because he wrote that, do you remember? He wrote that crazy, long, involved, like,
oh my goodness,
parallel mythology, yes, of the creation of the world with Orizin and Orizin's daughters, and mountains and thunder and
yeah,
I don't know, strangling and stuff. I feel like there was strangling. I don't know. It was,
yeah, William, I would not Blake, want to know William Blake.
No, like, I don't feel like he was like his roommate. He didn't change the toilet paper too. He wouldn't, I don't know.
If you're
imagine.
Lucky, he didn't change the toilet paper.
Yeah. So, but anyway, so I go and I think, well, I'm going to read, this time I'm going to have a poem ready and I'm going to read something about Orizin, something from William Blake, because what could be more appropriate? So I look it up and I'm remembering, Jesus, the reason I don't remember this stuff because I read it back in college and it's
crazy,
super crazy pants, yeah, and it didn't really really stick in my head that much. So I thought, well, they're not going to know if I just look for excerpts. So I searched for excerpts, and this is what I came across, and I'm reading. I'm like, Wait a minute. All right, so here's what I read. This is from, like, chapter 6 or part 6 or something. His cold horror, silent, dark Orizin prepared his 10,000s of thunders, ranged in gloomed array, stretched out across the dread world, and the rolling of wheels as of swelling seas sound in his butt. In his hills of stored snows, in his mountains of hail and ice, voices of terror are heard, like thunders of autumn, when my butt blazes over the harvests.
What?
So, so I read it, and I thought, I'm an English major. I'm like, I know sometimes words can shift and settle in their meanings over the decades and over the centuries.
Is he creating the world from his bottom? Is that what's going on?
Well, then I remembered what happened. Actually, what happened is, for some reason, I installed something called the cloud to butt extension on Chrome, and it automatically changes. Every time the word cloud appears, it automatically changes it to butt, and I keep on forgetting it's on my computer. And it's just stupid enough to make me not want to take it off because I keep on freaking. Because the, I mean,
before you do that.
Well, because it's funny. You know, I went, oh, I have all these pictures. What am I going to do them? I know, I'll just store them in the butt. It's funny. But it doesn't go well with William Blake because he talks about clouds a lot, apparently, like every few lines. I'm like, this man is obsessed.
He's an aspirin.
He's such a colossal aspirin, apparently. I don't remember that. Back in the more innocent days of college, I just didn't pick up on it. I don't know. So instead, Yeah, I picked out a different poem instead, is the long and the short of it. Okay. Are we up to the poem already? What time is it? Let me check how many minutes we have left.
We got a lot more to talk about, too.
Oh, well, all right. Well, we can keep on talking then. You want another drink? Are you
set? I think I'm...
All right. Well, go ahead. Talk then. Big shot.
It's your show.
Oh, come on. It's our show. It's our nausea. Well, it says here... We actually make notes for these things. Can you believe it? It says here... The Unreturn of the Jerk.
Nope. What?
Oh, and then there's a note.
Oh, you screwed it up.
I'm so bad at this. Wow, I'm really sorry. And it says, you should announce that the jerk is coming back, and then I will intervene. It says, I'm really sorry about that.
Oh, man. Yeah, English major. You can't even read a sentence.
I'm the worst.
Yeah.
I'm really sorry about that.
Skip it.
Oh, come on. Go right to the poem. All right. We'll have to do it next time then.
No.
Anything else?
No, that was it. That was the one and only time we were going to talk about that.
That is really unfair of you.
No, it's not. Well, all right. Yes, it is, but still.
All right. You got anything else or you want me to read the poem?
Yeah, go to the poem. Go to the poem.
All right. Well, in honor of St. Patrick's Day, I thought I would read a poem by a Welsh poet. And that's all I'm going to say about that. Dylan Thomas, as I walked out one evening. All right, hang on to your butts.
Clouds.
Oh, sorry. Hang on to your clouds. Oh, I got to start over. As I walked out one evening. As I walked out one evening walking down Bristol Street, the crowds upon the pavement were fields of harvest wheat. And down by the brimming river, I heard a lover sing under an arch of the railway. Love has no ending. I'll love you, dear, I'll love you till China and Africa meet, and the river jumps over the mountain and the salmon sing in the street. I'll love you till the ocean is folded and hung up to dry, and the seven stars go squawking like geese about the sky. The years shall run like rabbits, for in my arms I hold the flower of the ages and the first love of the world. But all the clocks in the city began to whir and chime. Oh, let not time deceive you, you cannot conquer time. In the burrows of the nightmare, where justice naked is, time watches from the shadow and coughs when he would kiss. In headaches and in worry, vaguely life leaks away, and time will have his fancy tomorrow or today. Into many a green valley drifts the appalling snow. Time breaks the threaded dances and the diver's brilliant bow. Oh, plunge your hands in water, plunge them in up to the wrist. Stare, stare in the basin and wonder what you've missed. The glacier knocks in the cupboard, the desert sighs in the bed, and the crack in the teacup opens a lane to the land of the dead, where the beggars raffle the banknotes and the giant is enchanting to Jack, and the lily white boy is a roarer and Jill goes down on her back. Oh, look, look in the mirror, oh, look in your distress. Life remains a blessing, although you cannot bless. Oh, stand at the window as the tears scald and start. You shall love your crooked neighbor with your crooked heart. It was late, late in the evening, the lovers, they were gone. The clocks had ceased their chiming, and the deep river ran on.
Whew. That's really good.
Oh, boy. I hope, you know, I was listening to this, sort of soul singer for a while. I was really into him and I kept on listening to him, and Benny comes by one day, she was 3 or 4 at the time, and she said, what are you crying about? Well, his lady left him and she feels really bad, and she's like, but he's gonna be okay, he'll be okay. And she's like, okay. And she was really worried about him though. So he'll be okay.
Yeah. Yeah, Dylan Thomas often reminds me of Shane McGowan.
You know, because before you go any further, yeah. I should point out that this is not actually by Dylan Thomas. It's by W.H. Auden. I'm so sorry. I am not on my game today. Boy, I retract the statement that I was an English major because I don't know shit, apparently.
Well, I'm a dropout. I have an excuse.
That's true. You had some... Well... girl you had to take care of. I don't know.
I don't know anything. A lot of guys were yelling stuff.
I know.
In any event.
Anyway, I do like that poem though, whoever it is by.
I think that's by Van Halen.
That's William has freak Blake, apparently.
If anybody's still listening at this point, go ahead and go onto YouTube, and you want to look for the Kids in the Hall alien sketch.
Yes.
Yes, that one, and also I think the one about the movie buff. That's a good one, too. The
movie buff.
Oh, yes.
I don't even know that, but I'll have to look it up.
Yeah.
All right. Wow. Before we dig any deeper, I'm just going to...
We should
get another damn drink. That's what I'm going to do.
Should have had... Yeah.
Yeah.